wife and I had a little vacation last week, and I want to thank the staff for watching over the house of God, taking care of the people, so my wife and I could get away for a couple of days, and it was good, amen? As some of you saw, I entered a car show that I didn't think I'd win at all on anything, and I ended up winning something, so praise God for that. Joel chapter 2, tell me when you got it. If you need a Bible, there's probably one in front of you. Well, this is Pentecost Sunday. We are Pentecostal people. We are filled with the Spirit, and I'm not ashamed of that. I thank God for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It changes us from glory to glory. And you know what? We can't live this life fleshly. I mean, you can build yourselves up in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing in your heart and making melody to the Lord. How many of those that is powerful? We're so easy and quick to pick up things. Like you could hear a song in a store or whatever and find yourself singing it afterwards. Or am I the only one? How many ever had a song in your head like, I just need to get this out of my head? Okay, four of you. How many of those that's true? The truth is that we have a great capacity and we don't really, I don't think, fathom how vast our spirit is. Our spirit is so vast, the Spirit of God can fit in that spirit. So I mean, the potential is unbelievable. It's unlimited, the potential. It's also unlimited how much you can walk and live and move in the Holy Spirit. But we must have that time. The Word of God is so important to our spiritual growth. It's how we mature. You cannot grow spiritually without the Word of God working in you. It also brings correction. Now, the other day, we were near Midland the other day, and the speed limit up there, they've jacked it up to 75. So when you get out there, now everyone's doing 80, 85 anyways. But the truth is that I looked at the sign, and I'm like, I could see where they stuck the old sign. They put the new one on top of it. It's not a new one. They just put the letters over it. I'm like, 75? All right, yeah, break it down there. So I cranked her up a little bit and saved a little time. But I had a speed limit that I could operate in knowing that I'm officially allowed to drive this speed without fear of getting a ticket. True? If we don't get into the Word of God, how do we know we're living like we should? It isn't just a bunch of laws and rules and do's and don'ts, but it's a guideline, it's a roadmap, it's how we should live. It also indicates if I'm breaking something from God, it brings correction to me. Are you with me? So you can use it to govern your life. Say amen. How many of us, we all need to learn to be filled with the Spirit? How about love one another, even those who don't love you? See, the truth is that we need to have a new influx of the Word of God in us. If you say you walk in the Spirit, then this is part of your daily diet. How I know that I didn't break the law is because I saw the sign. How do I know I'm living for the King? I'm reading the Word. Does that make sense? In Joel chapter 2, verse 28, it says this, "And it shall come to pass that I will pour out my..." Somebody say Spirit. What's God going to pour out? He's going to pour out His Spirit. Listen, can you hold back the Holy Spirit? But the truth is that how many of the Holy Spirit wants to move in our services? Now, I've been saved long enough and I've been a pastor long enough. If you don't want the Holy Spirit in your church, He may be indwelling in you, but how many of us we want that presence here too? Oh, come on. How many of us said we have to welcome the Holy Spirit here? I've been in services where I knew the Holy Spirit wanted to do more than what was happening. I want God to do all that He wants to do on every service we attend. If He changes the service, then we're mature enough to handle that. If a child comes in and prophesies the house down, we're mature enough to handle that and not just look at the age of the individual. Come on. How many of us, we need to be ready. All of us are in that area. Can you imagine what revelation God can give to all of us? That we can all mature in the faith. That God may give you a portion. I know this for a fact. I will never have all the revelation. I know in part, I prophesy in part. But I've learned this, that if I put my part and you put your part, there's more parts than the parts. And sooner or later, if we get all the parts working, how many of us we get the fullness of it all? So we need one another. As a pastor, I struggle when the man of God is the only person that can receive from God. Oh, I can preach that. I mean, those were a collective in this church. Now, things are done decently in order. You understand and respect authority. But the truth is, God's going to pour out His Spirit. Notice after it's poured out, that I'll pour it on your sons and your daughters. That should make somebody happy. Is anybody a parent in here? How many of us, that's a good thing. God, pour out your Spirit on my sons and my daughters. Wouldn't you want them to be greater walking with God than what you've experienced? Shouldn't that be a goal? We should look at the next generation saying, you know what? They can have more than what I experienced. That should make us all happy, true? Then we have maturity at one end and we have youth on the other end. We need that area. Now, I didn't call Pastor Robert old, but Pastor Robert says, you know, Pastor Tom, I'm getting a little older. It's all right, isn't it? It's good to be, amen? Good to be seen. But the truth is that when I look at Pastor Robert, he's a father figure to me. He's somebody I can bounce things off. And he has such a gentle nature about him that he'll go, you know what? Yep, I experienced that. Yep, here's what's worked for me. I mean, that's awesome to have. I'm privileged to have Pastor Robert and his wife here. I really am. They're a blessing to us in this church. But notice what happens when God pours it out. Listen, your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Notice the spiritual climate of your life changes because the Holy Spirit is there. When we pray, we should be thinking, Lord, God, I want my imagination to be hooked into my prayer time too. Do you know what? Your imagination has been given from God. The enemy wants to pollute it. How much we need that imagination to be holy? Now, I can imagine a whole lot of things. I'm imagining that before the church doors open, that people will be standing waiting to come in. I've seen them stand and wait for a movie, camp out for days. I've seen people camp out for days for a video game. Isn't Jesus more awesome than any of that? Yes or no? Then if we're serving a God who we love, then you know what? There should be a line coming in. There should be a place. I can't wait till they open the house of God. I can't wait till those things. Amen? I also imagine a home, a facility that we can take care of our aged saints too. That they don't have to go somewhere else, that we have such a resource that, you know what, in their sunset years, they can still be close to the house of God. Oh, somebody say amen. Amen. When God pours out His Spirit, Zechariah 12, verse 10, if you're taking notes, says, I'll pour out my Spirit on the house of David, on the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Grace, the Spirit of grace and supplication. I love this. They will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for those areas of the only son. They will grieve for his one that's like the firstborn. But I look at this supplication and prayer. Jesus is the one who bore our sickness and bore our pain. But we need to realize that the Spirit of God was upon all that. When I love Jesus, the more I love him, the more revelation I have about him. How many ever fall in love with the King? And all of a sudden you realize that you're walking a little bit closer. We need to have that hand-in-hand walk. When I'm filled with the Spirit, you know what? I can take on all kinds of challenges I couldn't take on being in the flesh. How many have ever been filled with the Spirit and got attacked? And man, you could take that. It's like boom, 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 boom. But man, no, you're still ready. But how many have ever been attacked and you've been at that low point and it hurts you? It's like that word just like pierced you, like went into you and like, oh, and you felt paralyzed and losing strength. Let me see your hand also. How many want to face it filled with the Spirit? You ever notice the attack still comes either way? But it's how we're fortified that we make the difference. Listen, if I'm going into battle and I can have armor and not have armor, give me the armor. If I'm going to battle and have a weapon and not having a weapon, give me a weapon. I'm not going to throw a carrot at somebody. Here, I'll bless you. No, give me a weapon. Because our enemy doesn't play fair. He doesn't care if you're young or you're old. He's only come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And we need to look at that when our enemy comes in. He's looking to steal, kill, and destroy. No, God's come that he might have life. How much life is something we all want? And it's easy to recognize the work of the enemy if you go past that little veil thing he puts out. Sometimes he'll mask it. Now, how many ever seen counterfeits before? How many ever seen knockoffs? The other day, I was in a gas station. I always look at their watches right at the counter. The guy had a Rolex watch for $29.95. Right next to the... How many of us, that's a good deal? If that was a real Rolex, how many of us, that would be worth popping $30 down for that? I never forget. I said, let me look at that watch. God was just so happy to hand it to me. I took it and I flipped it over, made in China. Well, you know what? Chances are that may not be a Rolex. Amen? You know what? I'm not going to have some pseudo armor on me either. I'm going to have be filled. And how many knows it's tested? And anything about armor, if you know anything about armor, how many knows that it's battle tested? Your armor does not fit me. Neither does my armor fit you. It's custom fit. Oh. Saul's armor never fit David. He never proved it or tried it. It was too big. It was too long. Listen to me, it won't fit. You can't run on just my faith. And here's the truth. Sunday will be an appetizer for you. You got to feed yourself. Monday, get out the fork and spoon and knife and dig in. Amen? You come filled already in the week. Sunday, I'll be like, yeah, it's ready to go. I haven't preached in a week. I'm unloading on you. Number two, we need to pause at Pentecost. In Luke 24, verse 49, it says this, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father before you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued from power on high." Before the power came, they had to pause in life and receive it. What if the Lord said this to all of us? Look, next week, whatever miracle you need to be there because it will happen. What if we all heard that word? How many would go in 1 week, go, you know what? I'm going to make sure I'm back there because that word has been spoken. He did that for the power of Pentecost. I want you guys to tarry here. You have a choice to tarry. You can leave. You can do your own thing. Or you can fulfill the word and do what I ask. I believe more miracles will happen if we fulfill what God asks. Just do this little bit. I'm not going to do that part for you. Just do this little bit. Now, how many would be like, Lord, I'm going to be there? It's not Tom telling you either. It'd be like Jesus coming to Richard. Richard, in 1 week, I want you to make sure you're here because I'm going to do something. Didn't the Lord tell them to tarry in Jerusalem? He told them to tarry. Now, what about all those who heard it and just say, you know what, I got other things going on? I'm here to tell you, life's going to have always something else going on. There's always something else going on. Always something else going on. Even if you do nothing, there's something else going on. We have to prioritize and say, you know what? We have to pause and say, I want to be filled. That means it's going to take some time. And believe me, sometimes in prayer, you may receive nothing. But you're sitting in his presence. I'm waiting on him. But God's always faithful. Sometimes I pray, Lord, I want to hear from you. But Lord, I want to have the right heart as I'm hearing too. It makes all the difference. How many ever answered yourself in prayer? Asked for wisdom and answered yourself. Our mind is quick that way. It's quick in body and soul and spirit. Number three, there's the power of Pentecost. In Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. I like power. One thing I like about my car is I have a 400 Pontiac motor in there. And man, when I tromp on that gas, doing the speed limit, that 400 motor comes alive. Back then, they had some power. Now, I know there's computers. I know they're ramping them up now. But there's something different about a huge V8 motor. Amen? Some of you know what I'm talking about. How many like some power? Come on, I've owned a Volkswagen with the small motor. And come on, baby. Come on, let's go. Let's go. No heat. Just a little air blowing on the window. Here's, praise the Lord. How many ever had some hoopties in your life? Man. Don't put Jesus as your source either, all right? Leave it off. Say, you know what? Wait till you get some prosperity working. But he says this, you only had power when my Holy Spirit comes upon you. Notice the power. There's going to be the power to witness too. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to witness. The church is real weak on witnessing. Jesus is the best kept secret. Listen, once you get saved, that should be your promotion to share. But you can't share unless you're filled. How many ever been afraid at one time? You wanted to share, and there was an opportunity to, you needed to, and you kind of just didn't say much. How many ever felt convicted after that? You just knew, oh man, Lord, forgive me. Those should be learning experiences. But how many ever been filled with the Spirit? It's bubbling over. Your cup's here, and Mr. Saucer's getting all kinds of stuff. And you're just like, man, you just share it because it's natural. Witnessing should be natural, not just a class. It should be natural. And you'll get better as you share more. Even if you blow it, it's not your words, it's the conviction of the Holy Spirit that brings people to repentance. And if you got saved, everybody else is easy. There's power there. Notice the power. Listen to me. God will enable you to have Jerusalems, Judeas, Samarias, and the ends of the earth. Notice that being filled with the Spirit will make you a world changer. Well, little old me, who am I in all this? God will make you a world changer. I mean, that's a powerful testimony. You might be able to share with somebody, and believe me, like Pastor Galena shared, some lady witnessed to somebody else this. This guy became like the governor or the mayor of the town, president. He became a president of a nation. From somebody that met this person and witnessed to him, they got saved. They became a president. How many of us, God can do that? That's something God can do. How many want that power? It's so available. In Micah 3, verse 8, it says, truly, listen to me, I am full of the power of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of justice and might. I love that. Listen, when you're filled with God's Spirit, you can start to discern areas and also keeps you holy. Now, God brings a refining process. How many here have learned, like, to start to put a little cap on your lips? Man, I shouldn't say that. How many ever slipped? When did the growth happen? When you first got saved, everything was, yeah! You went from four-letter words to five-letter words. It started to happen. But after you kind of get shifted in the mode, you kind of like can pick up a few habits that are still lingering. How many ever cussed after you got saved? How many ever let it slip and you kind of went, ooh, I still got an area to work on. Okay, three of you. How many of us had God's process? But thank God you're not the same anymore, true? How far will that go? Listen to me. It's like once the body work starts to happen, then God starts to do a little file in here. There's a few rough edges you got to take on. And then I've seen them do this. Look at your clay pot and go, I'm going to just do something new. And put you back on the wheel. Because he saw a lump in you that you didn't see. Oh, I can preach that. He fastened you into something far greater. Now, I was never good at pottery. I was terrible at pottery. I could watch people make great stuff. Mine would wobble and fall over. The only thing I could make was an ashtray. That's all I could make. And even that was ugly. It was like bunched up with your fingers with four little slots where the pencil was in it. And I'd give it to my mom, and it was hideous. It would fire, and it couldn't do nothing with it. It was painted ugly. And my mom would go, oh, that is so, oh, it looks so lovely. And I'm thinking, Mom, you're such a liar. The mom's love. To Mom, it was beautiful, true? And then my dad would go, Oh, wow, yeah, hey, all right, glad you made that. But I knew it was ugly, I did. But that was the best I could do. But when he puts his hands on my hands, something spins out far greater than I could ever imagine. I need the master builder to build me in this situation. Being filled with his spirit enables me to do more than I could ever do. I'll share this with you. I had a job to do. There were times where in ministry, there wasn't enough income for the church to pay the salary. So I worked bivocational jobs many times. And I had this job that I got, and I wasn't qualified for it at all. I applied, I went there, and I was honest with the gentleman. I go, look, I really can't do this job. And he looked at me like, why'd you apply? Wasted my time. I said, but listen, I'm a hard worker, and I know that God can gift me. He looked at me and looked, God can gift you? I said, yes, God can gift me to do. I pray that he'll give me skill and ability, as Daniel said. He says, well, I'll give you a trial. I'll give you a two-week trial. I go, fair enough. And I remember the first day on the job, I got off to the corner a little bit, and I knelt down and said, God, I need skill and ability to do this job. You know what I need to meet all my needs. Help me. Guess what he did? He gave me skill and ability to do that job. And the people who worked there, and I'm not self-lifting up here, because I was amazed too. They said, man, you picked this up pretty quick. And privately, I give God the glory. Lord, thank you. It's because of you. How much God can do it? Listen to me, I believe that God can promote you even in where you're at, Lord, because the Lord's on your side. If you're filled with the Spirit, you have no lack. It's in the flesh that we have problems. It's in the flesh we mess it up. And when the church operates in the flesh, we're going to screw it up. We're going to mess it up. We're going to change all the wires and it won't run. Amen? How many want to be filled with the Spirit? We need that area. Now I'm running out of time here. But the truth is that it's the power of Pentecost. All of us need to have a time of fresh and filling again. And it's simple as asking, you know what they did? When they went to the upper room, they were all assembled. Notice the obedience got them there. Their character sustained them while they're there. And then God came down and said, you know what? Whammo! What I've always wanted to do, what was in me, I wanted to be in you. For the first time, mankind could have the fullness of the Holy Spirit in their body. I'm going to walk in that. And you know what? It can increase more and more. Come on. The church needs to be people that are filled with His Spirit. Can I get an amen? I'm going to stop there. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, we want that fresh and filling. As a church, I want us to have a fresh and filling. And it's as simple as asking, and I want us to do this as a body. Pray this with me. Lord Jesus, a fresh and filling of your Holy Spirit. Give me the ability to minister your grace to the people. Lord Jesus, keep me focused on what is true and holy in Jesus' name. Now I want to challenge you, church. Take this week and get a strength in the Word, a diet in the Word, a feast in the Word. And take that time and say, Lord, I'm just going to pray effectively for these situations. And then when the song of praise comes out, and believe me, if you've been saved for a while, it's amazing how many songs are down in there. The other day, my wife and I had a 70s flashback. How many remember, come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. All these songs begin to come back. Believe me, with the old and the new, it all comes back because it's there. It's time to bring that out. It's time to make the challenges of this life filled with God's Spirit. You know what? It'll revolutionize everything we do. Everything we do. Mr. Saucer is where your friends live. They don't get it till our cup runs over. Come on. How much can you be filled? You have the Spirit of God in you. It's endless what you can be filled. and then speak to yourself. This is the only time it's good to talk to yourself. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Can we do it, church? How am I going to spend this week being filled with the Spirit? I'm asking you, church, be filled with the Spirit. If you've got to turn that off, displug that, change that, whatever it is, no, I'm going to be filled with the Spirit. And I'm going to come back next Sunday filled with the Spirit.